Hold. All right, let's pray and we'll get rock and rolling. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for the Passpoint class and just being able to hang out with his family. God, we do pray for Chris and Lauren. It was an awesome time yesterday. I pray that you would just use their marriage as a testimony to you. Lord, I thank you for everything the Passpoint class did, just helping out and serving together. It's one of my favorite things to do as a group, Lord, is just serve with these folks. So I pray that you just speak this morning, put me out of the way. I don't have anything to say, God, but you showed me some pretty cool things out of the book of Isaiah. So I pray that you would just remove me and speak through me, and that the word of God would be convicting and uplifting, Lord, and that you would just be glorified in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. All right, one last thing. If you didn't know, Brian's not here today. He's preaching at a church up,
Bread of Life
downtown. So just pray for him. He's not just taking a day off. He's doing what he always does. He's preaching the word. So anyway, okay. So if you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah. Yes. So if you all are keeping up with your, hey, I'm reading through the Bible in 1 year. We just recently went through the book of Isaiah. And so I'm still trying to catch up to where we're at, but Isaiah chapter 1. And so here's your title for the day. If you're a note taker, if you're not, just strap in and hang on, because I got some things to say. Here's your title. What direction will you go? Question mark. What direction will you go? And so this would be where, if I was tech savvy or on top of my life, I would have like a PowerPoint where I had, you know, the path with the Y in it, with, you know, the trees. But I'm not like that. And so, but how often in our lives do we come across a time daily, usually, where we have to decide this or that? What am I doing next? Right? Do you ever get tired of just making decisions? I get to the point where through work and just the things that I have to make decisions about, when it comes time to, like, what are we going to eat? I'm like, I just don't care. Just decide, right? I'm so tired of it. But God has a question for you today that you're going to have to decide. And I'm not trying to get all up in your grill, but sometimes the Word of God does this. And so the future of our families, and you might like, oh, this is serious, right? The future of our families boils down to how we choose to answer this question, right? And I'm not going to tell you the question until the end, so you can't leave.
What direction right? Will you go
is
your question?
No, that's not the question. Well, that will be the question, but that's not the... So the future of our families boils down to how we choose to answer this question, right? So I've got 4 points for you today.
Oh, I needed a number.
Yeah, and so usually I like tell you something. So I got 4 points for you today.
It's not like four keys.
No, it's 4 points. That's all I got. That's just the way it is. It didn't work out that way. And so I got 4 points. Our problem, our punishment, our solution, and God's question, right? And you can write them down as we go, but that's your 4 points. So...
Hold on, then again.
No, you can get them as we go. Okay, so... overachievers, get the podcast. You can go back and listen. It's all good. It's on there too. It's not just through Apple. It's on both of them. But Isaiah chapter 1. All right, so let's just jump right into this and see what we got to go with. And so obviously I'm going to show you what Isaiah is really talking about as we go into this. But like general, I don't ever want you to leave here without applying some of this to your life. And so I don't want you to roll out of here being like, well, I'm not a Jew, so I'm good. Because that's not the case. Because God had some things for me. And so here we go, Isaiah chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of... Amos, whatever his name is, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. See, I wish every book in the Bible, or really every chapter, would start like that. It's really plain and simple. It tells me who I'm talking to. It tells me what we're dealing with. And so I know right off the bat, Isaiah's talking about it, which, you know, it's the beginning of the book. And so this is the, which he saw. He's a prophet, if you didn't know that. Shocker, right? Isaiah is a prophet. And this is the things that God told him. And he saw through God, and so concerning what? Judah. So we're talking about the Jews. Don't check out. I got something for you too. And Jerusalem in the days of these kings. Okay, so Verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. Isaiah's like, just in case you were wondering, this isn't me talking, God said this, right? And so he just pulled the God card. So what do you do when somebody pulls the God card? You just, okay, if that's what God told you, right? I'm not going to argue with you. He says, and give ear, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Man, that's one way to start a book, right? He's just all up in their grill. Verse 3, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Now, if you weren't catching on with what just happened there, he just compared those people to oxen and asses. So, hey, listen up. He's got something to say. Verse 4, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger, and are gone away backward. Man, he is on a roll, four verses in. I mean, he's serious about what he's saying. Verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. So here's your first point, right? We got a problem. Here's our problem. God says, and he's talking to Israel here, but let's just assume, and don't take me wrong, I'm not teaching replacement theology, if you know what that is. I'm not saying that the church is taking the place of Israel. That's not how we roll here, right? And so don't, I'm going to just tell you that up front, so don't go and tell somebody that I'm preaching heresy. Okay, but here's what God says to not only Israel, but he's saying to you today. God says you got two problems. He says you got a head problem, and you got a heart problem. He says it right there in verse 5. He says that after he just basically completely calls him out, he says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. It doesn't say just some of your whole head is sick and your whole heart faint. Isaiah comes rolling in and he's like, hey, so just a little bit of backstory. The nation of Israel, they were not heads. If you didn't know that already, you should have, because we've been reading through the Bible in a year and they haven't got anything right. I mean, their case of can't get right is worse than I've ever seen. I mean, they're just, it's bad. And so they're trying to figure out what to do. And the more they try, and I'm sure you've never felt like this, I'm not talking to you, the more they try, it seems like the farther off pace they get, the farther off mark they get. Man, they're tryhards. They want to do what's right. And you'll see that here later on. They want to do what's right. They want to do the things they're supposed to be doing. But the harder they try, the farther off they get. Why is that? Well, God tells you right there. He says, you got a head problem and you got a heart problem. Right? And so, here's something. I was thinking about this morning as I was sitting down, getting all this ready. And it's really cool because God has allowed Paige and I to be a part of, you know, all of your lives. And so we corporately as a group can come together for things like last night for the wedding, and we can minister together and we can do all that. And, you know, we love God and we love people and we just want to serve. Right? That's the heart of Passpoint. Man, if I could say what is the heart of Passpoint, we just want to serve. Like everybody around here, that's just where we're at. And there's not anybody in here that's like, no, that's not really me, right? I'm more of a, no, y'all just want to serve. Praise God. That's where we need to be. If we don't want to serve, then we're never going to get anywhere else. But we can. It's really cool that God's allowed us to do things like that. But then God, inside of that, has allowed Paige and I to really get to know each and every one of you a little more intimately. And I know the things that are going on in your life. And I know the thing that's going on in your life. And not everybody knows those things. But it's really cool because as God was showing me these things, I'm like, there's some things I can say here. And I know this person's going to take it this way. And this person's going to take it this way. And I'm like, this was really good. But there's a lot of things going on in our life, right? And sometimes it just seems like we got a problem. And sometimes, and I'm not talking about the big things. Like, cause I'm not calling you all out and saying, man, you got to deal with the big sin in your life. If you got a big sin in your life, you got to deal with it. But most of you guys, you're servants. You want to do what's right. You're not out there, you know, sleeping with the lady next door. You're not out there, you know, stealing money from work. You're not out there doing the big things, right? But I know you because I am you. And there's some little things that go on, right? There's some little things that go on. Maybe it's just the thoughts, right? I'm not talking about the thoughts of the girl who walks by or the thoughts of it. maybe it's the false imaginations, right? It's the things that I was talking to Chris yesterday, and I'm revealing more of my story than yours, but you know, I would never just lay your stuff out there, right? But there's just some things going on, right? And with work, and I've got the kind of the same types of things going on. There's, you know, literally work is flipped upside down, right? Like, I don't know any other way to put it. And so there's some things going on, and we were chatting yesterday about what he's got going on with work, and, you know, and it's just kind of like, I think this is what's going to happen, right? And I just feel like this is what's going to happen, and it's, you know, what am I going to do? And Chris, you know, as the mouthpiece of God, he doesn't even know this, but he was like, so has anybody said anything to you about those things? I'm like, no, I just think that's what's going to happen. He's like, oh, so maybe it's just what you're thinking. And I don't know this, but I'm just guessing that maybe Chris is going through the same thing, right? And you guys, sometimes it's the little sin, right? And it was really cool because he called it sin, and I was like, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, because he was like, you know, it's the sin to just assume the things that we think are going to happen, and we start making plans for God without just trusting that God's going to roll out His plan. And I was like, wow, that's really good, right? I'm not calling out your big sin. If you got big sin, deal with it. But our problem, Isaiah, the mouthpiece of God, and I don't ever want to claim myself to be the mouthpiece of God, but God right now is saying something that He says, hey, we got a problem. And whatever your little issue is, you know, whether it's just the things that you're thinking or the things, you know, maybe it's just like, man, I wish more people would help out. Man, I wish more people would get in. Those things are sin, right? Those things are, you know, and I'm not calling anybody out because I'm right there with you. That's why I put myself right out there on display to start with, right? We've got a problem, and this is what God says about that problem. We know Israel was all jacked up, but here's what He's saying to you and to me. He says, you got a head problem and you got a heart problem. Why is that? Why is that? Well, your head problem is because you've got bad logic. Your head problem is because you've got bad logic. We think that, well, if I could just do that, or if I could just do this, and we start thinking through it just like I was doing, I start answering my own questions without asking God, and that's bad logic. The only logic we need comes from this book right here. And if you're getting it from anywhere else, if you're getting it from any counselor that's not taking it out of this book, you've got bad logic, right? Why do you have a heart problem? Because you've got bad motive. Right? You got bad motive. It's easy to say, well, you know, I've got a good heart. I really want to do this. I really want to serve. I really want to do that. Well, why? What's your motive behind wanting to serve? What's your motive behind, you know, is it just because, you know, you want your back scratched tomorrow? You know, are you only serving your wife because you want what you're going to get from her? Are you only, you know, doing the things you're supposed to do for your husband because, you know, well, here in a minute, we're going to go shopping, right? Whatever that, right? Shoes. Yeah. Yeah. Shoes. My wife, and she said something to me the other day. I don't even remember what it was about, but I don't remember what the circumstances were, but she was like, maybe you've got a shoe problem, all right? And so you know what I did? She sent me to buy her some flats yesterday for the wedding. I bought her 3 pairs of shoes. I'm like, well, now we both got a problem. No, mostly because I couldn't decide. So I'm like, I'll get one of these and one of these and one of these. We weren't going to be wrong. No. We've got a bad motive. Our motive's got to be pure. Right? Our motive's got to be pure. I got some verses. Somebody's going to have to read them. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Somebody get that. Somebody get Proverbs 19:21. Sorry, I didn't like type all this out. So, okay.
I got 1 Corinthians.
Okay, and then somebody get Romans 10:10. Okay, I'm going to make you guys get in your word today.
2:16.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 2:16.
Right.
Yeah.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? So we have the mind of Christ.
You've got the mind of Christ in you. You want to know why you're making... You want to know why you got a head problem? It's because you're not using God to make your decisions. You're doing them all on your own. We have the mind of Christ if we'll just allow Him to do it. Did you know that? Well, you do now. You've got the mind of Christ. You just got to use it. Right? I love my boys to death, but sometimes I'm like, you're smarter than I would ever be. But you got to use that thing sometimes. Man, Somebody get Proverbs. Who's got that?
I did, but what was it?
Proverbs 19:21.
Okay. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand.
We've got a lot of devices in our heart. We got a lot of problems in here. But what's it say? The mind of God shall stand. That's where we need to be. The only thing that's going to stand is the mind that God puts in us. Romans 10:10.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
So does it say with the mind man believeth, right? We got to make that decision in our mind. No. You got to make that decision in your heart to change something. You've got God's mind and you've got God's heart if you would just allow Him to work through you. But too many times, I'll just say me, because I know you guys are way better than me, I get in the way of God. I say, yeah, I know, but this is how I'm going to roll. I know, I got this. I'll call you for the big thing, right? We've got God's heart and we've got God's mind. And He says in Isaiah, the problem we've got is we've got a head problem and a heart problem. And I don't think He's talking about the one that He gave us. He's talking about the one that we're using without Him. He's given us all power, all knowledge to do the things that we're supposed to do. Man, I just don't know what to do about this. It's because you're not in the Word and you're not asking God. Because He would tell you. But instead, we don't want to hear it, or we're just like, maybe I'm going to try it this way. I get it, but I'm going to... We just don't want to obey. Right? We got a head problem, we got a heart problem. I got to keep rolling. We're not going to get done. Okay, number two. So this is our punishment, right? This is our punishment. Verse 6. Moving on. It says, from the sole of thy foot, even into the head, there is no soundness. Man, he calls it from top to bottom, there ain't no soundness in you. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. I don't know what that word means, but I don't know. We'll figure it out later. He says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers. Man, that... Have you ever had a cucumber plant? Those things grow everywhere, right? I think that's what it's talking about there. As a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts hath left us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom. We should have been like unto Gomorrah. Now, I'm going to completely skip over the remnant thing, but for your own personal study, you should underline that. You should like write to the side, I need to study this out because you need to figure out what that means, but I'm totally skipping over it today, okay? So here's the next thing we got. Here's your next point. Here's your punishment. Here's what God says. Right here out of the Word. I'm not making this up. Because I know sometimes you guys are like, yeah, I think that's just what He's saying. He's trying to call me out. For it. This is what God says. Right here out of the Word. He says, we have no soundness. What does that mean? He says, from your bottom of your feet to the top of your head, you got no soundness. What does that mean? Right? We're supposed to, what, endure sound doctrine? You know? Sound, meaning pure, meaning true. He says, you've got nothing true in you from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. Where are you at? Where are you at, church? He says, you've got no soundness. And here's the next thing he says, we deserve judgment. He says, man, if it wasn't for this remnant, you all would be just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And you guys know what happened there. It was raining, and it wasn't raining, you know, hailstones. It burnt that thing up. Compare that to what happens in Revelation. He's going to burn this thing up, right? It's coming. We've got no soundness, and we deserve judgment. Why is that? Why do we have no soundness? Somebody give me just one thing. Just why? Why do we have no soundness? What? Did you say? Oh, no. What? Why? Why? Cleo answered. Here's why, and this is what God gave me. So your answer is probably correct as well, but it's because we have no convictions. We have no convictions. We're like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to do that, but yeah, I know that you know that sounds right, but you know we're going through an issue in my house right now. I'm not going to completely call it out, but one of my sons asked Paige a question and therefore came and asked me a question. And he asked me yesterday, he's like, why do you and Mom immediately always ask the same question? Right? Can I text a girl? How old is she? Right? You got to have some convictions, right? Maybe it's not the cool thing to do. Maybe when you go to work, and instead of, you know, hanging out with the guys doing whatever you do, or hanging out with the gals around the, you know, maybe your convictions say, hey, this is what I'm going to do instead. Whatever that means, I don't know. Right? We have no convictions. You want to know why you have nothing true inside of you from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head? It's because you have no convictions. You might be like, I've got convictions. Really? What do you stand up for? I tell you guys this at least once a month. There are a lot of things. I'm a fairly passive guy. I'm not all about confrontation. It's not worth it to me, right? But there are a few things, and I've told you guys this, and I will continue to tell you this. There need to be a few things in your life that it's like, that's a hill that I'm willing to stand and fight and die on. What is it for you? What are your convictions, right? You will not say something about my wife or my kids and not get a response out of me, right? You will not call out and blaspheme my God and not get a response from me. I will stand on that hill and I will die on it, right? Now, you want to debate about which Bible's right and everything? I'll tell you what I think, but we're not going to, you know, maybe some people are, and I'm not, those are your convictions. The problem is, we, and I'm not saying we as a class, I'm not saying we as a church, but I'm not saying that either. We don't have any convictions. We're like, yeah, well. We have no convictions. You want to know why we have no soundness? Because we don't have any convictions. Israel had no convictions. And God was finally like, all right, Isaiah, we got to let them know what's going on because this is not good. Here's the next thing he says. He says, we deserve judgment. Why do we deserve judgment? Why? Why do we deserve judgment? Because we have no godliness. There is no godliness in us apart from Christ. And obviously, like, yeah, the lost world, yeah, they're lost. No, I'm talking about Christians. You are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit can't work unless you allow Him to work. What's the verse say that if you quench the Holy Spirit, what happens? She's not bothering me. Oh, okay, I'm going to say she's not. I'm louder. The Holy Spirit will only work as you allow Him to. You might be like, well, why does it have to be like that? Because if the Holy Spirit did the work for you, then all of a sudden we have lost the thing that God gave us that is most awesome, and it's free will. Right? You have to allow Him to work. Well, how do I do that? Well, let me just, shocker, right, for whoever's listening to this, because I know you guys are already there, get in the stinking Word of God, right, and feed the Holy Spirit so He knows what to do. So He can allow you, as in your flesh, He already knows what to do. Sorry, don't get me wrong. He can allow your flesh to learn the things that you need to be doing. Man, we've got no godliness. We start deciding, you know, I think I can do this. I think I've got this figured out. Maybe I know, God, that's how we should be doing it. But with this circumstance, the thing that's best for my family, right? Talking to myself again, because I'm sure you've never said that, right? The thing that's best for my family right now is... No, you want to know the thing that's best for your family? Living by the Word of God. If that means you got no job, if that means that I go to work over here, if that means that... I don't know what that means. We're going to do what the Word of God says. And, shocker, if you didn't know this already... God's more concerned about your family than you will ever be. So you think He's going to lead you somewhere that's going to mess that whole thing up? You're wrong. Right? And I'm not talking to any one person because there's a lot of things. Well, as I'm saying that, I'm like, Chris probably thinks I'm like really preaching. No, it's not that at all. There's a lot of things. See, that's the cool thing about being in my spot is I know the things that are going on in a lot of other people's hearts, and I'm like, I know how he's taking this. I know how he's taking this, and I know how they're taking this, and I'm like, I promise. God will only work as you allow Him to work. He will only work as you allow Him to work. Ephesians 4:14, somebody get that. Somebody get 2 Peter 2:6. I might do this from now on. You guys are going to have to get in the Word for me. Huh?
I got Peter.
Okay, somebody get Ephesians 4:14 first. Okay, do it.
What? 4:14?
Ephesians 4:14.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait.
We've got to be grounded in doctrine. You might be like, what does that mean? Are you trying to indoctrinate me? No, I'm telling you, you need to know what the Word of God says. You want to know why you've got no soundness? Because you don't know what this book says. You have no convictions? Because you don't know what this book says. You're like, well, I know what some of that book says. Okay, well, start with that. I don't know how many times you hear somebody say, well, I don't really know what God completely says about this. Okay, well, are you living the things that you do know what it says? Start there. And then as you hear something new, apply that one too. And then apply the next one. Well, that's a lot. Yeah. It is. Jesus says, be holy as I am holy. The only way you're going to do that is by applying these principles after principle after principle to your life. And if you don't do that and you're like, well, I just don't want to. Okay, well, that's why you have a head problem. That's why you have a heart problem. Back to step one. Start over. What's the next verse say?
What was the chapter verse?
2 Peter 2:6, not 16.
And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly.
Peter says that what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah was like an example. Right? And so, if that was an example, then you know what he's saying, and you know what Isaiah's saying? You guys are living just as bad as they were. But yeah, they were pretty wicked, right? Didn't you see what Lot was doing? Didn't you? Yeah. And he says that if it wasn't for that remnant, y'all would be in the same boat. Peter says that was an example. And you're like, yeah, well, guess what? You get to Revelation and you're really going to see it happen because the example is going to come to fruition. Guys, I'm not getting all up in your grill, but we got to do a better job. We've got to step up. And you might be like, well, I'm doing all right. Jason, maybe you need to do a better job. Well, you're right, I do. But the Bible says something about checking out the whole stick that you got stuck in your eye while you're looking at my speckle. Right? I know I got a lot of them. But I'm not calling anybody out, but the Word of God's got something to say. Right? And I know that you guys are like, well, I don't have a big sin. Well, praise God you don't have a big sin. Let's start with a little one then. You know, whatever it is. You know, God has really worked me over in the last couple weeks. Praise the Lord, because I wasn't doing the things I needed to be doing. And it was not only affecting my walk, but it was affecting my relationships with my kids, my wife, everything. And so I'm like, when I read this, and I'm like, huh, yeah, you're right. I'm sure I'm the only one going through it, though, so, you know, I'm just putting myself out there on display. It is what it is. That's our punishment, guys. We're going to be that example. We've got to keep moving. Verse 10. It says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. He's basically like, you guys are just as bad. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice unto me? Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs and of he-goats. He's like, hey, just cut the sacrifice out, guys. Come on. And here, I'll just cut to the chase because I'm running out of time. What he's saying there, and if you're not picking up what he's throwing down to you, church, is stop coming to church if you're not going to live it out. The fake facade, the fake sacrifice, you ain't fooling nobody, especially God. The same thing they were doing. Well, we're doing the sacrifice because you've never heard, well, I'm at church. Okay. Live it. He says, verse 12, when you come to appear to me, who hath required this at your hand? And tread in my courts. He's like, I didn't ask for this. The same thing he would tell I didn't ask for you to come to church. If you're not here to get changed, then what are you doing here? I didn't ask for this. Verse 13, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. And he's like, get it. Right? They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And ye spread forth my hands, and I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Hands are full of blood. So here's our solution, right? This is, so we've got our problem. We know what our punishment is. So what are we going to do? We're going to come up with our solution. What's our solution? Well, I'm just going to do the things I know I'm supposed to do, right? I'm going to fake it till I make it. Right? Nobody knows what's going on in here, so as long as I put the good on the outside, it's all good. Man, you stink. You stink on the outside because you stink on the inside. And it shows. The only person you're fooling is you. God says, here's what our solution. God says, we're bringing vain oblations. And you know what else he says? He says, we will not be heard. Why are we bringing vain oblations? We're bringing bad sacrifice. We're bringing bad sacrifice. Well, I'm tithing a little bit. Well, I'm serving with a bad heart. I'm doing the things I need to do, but I don't want to. I'd rather be over there. And I hope Mitch doesn't take this wrong, because he might be like, man, you're running help away. If you go to work with the kids, or if you go to work in any ministry and your heart's not in it, man, get out. Amen. God don't need that. And I'm not going to say that Mitch don't need that. I don't need, God doesn't need that. God does not need you. He wants to use you. He wants you to be used. He doesn't need that. You know, well, I got to go to church today. You got to do nothing. Come on now. You're not fooling anybody. We have bad sacrifice. What's good sacrifice look like? Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I don't need you to get this one. I know this one. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You want to know what a good sacrifice... So that's bad sacrifice is what we're looking at here. Showing up to church. You know what a good sacrifice looks like? Presenting your body to God and saying, here am I. Send me. Fast forward a few chapters. You can read somebody did that. Right? Isaiah chapter 6. A good sacrifice is, here am I, send me. That's what God wants. Right? We got bad sacrifice. And you know what else he says? He says, we will not be heard. Why will we not be heard? You know, the preacher wants to say, well, if you just pray, God will hear you. Well, God hears you. But sometimes he doesn't hear you. Right? You ever do that with your kids? Right? I hear you, but I do not hear you. You picking up what I'm throwing down? Right? You know what I'm saying. Sometimes you hear it, but you don't hear it.
I actually really don't hear it.
Huh? Well, I'm the same way sometimes, right? God's the same thing. He hears it. He doesn't hear it in here. He doesn't hear it. Why is that? Why is that? Why does he not hear it? It's because we've got no godliness. No, that's the wrong one. We will not be heard. Why is that? Because we've got hypocritical lives. He's like, man, come on. Who are you fooling? You're getting up there preaching to these people and you're living like... Right? We're living hypocritical lives. That's why he's not hearing us. You know when he's going to hear you? When you're presenting your body a living sacrifice and you're living it out. So then when you pray, it's like, yeah, I can get on board with that. Now all of a sudden he's praying my word to me. That's weird. Maybe you shouldn't start with. It wasn't God, can you, you know, provide, and God, can you, you know, give me some money, and God, can you do this, and God, can you... Now it's just, God, what would you like me to do? Open the doors for me, and I'll do it. Well, how does that help my situation? I don't know. Let's just let God roll and see what happens. Present your body a living sacrifice. Well, if I don't pray for God to take care of me and my family, if I don't pray for God to take care of this situation, then... No, you're praying for circumstances. You're not praying for God's will. Why don't you just try that? God, whatever you would have, make it abundantly clear. Because obviously I'm not getting it, right? There's some sort of... I'm not picking up what you're throwing down, God. I'm not getting it. So you just make your will completely clear to me. and I'll do that. And then if it's wrong, then I'll blame it on you, God. Right? No. But I'm just going to roll with that, and we'll see how that works out. You know, this happens to me like daily, right? Daily. I'll do it my way. No. Okay, God, how do you want it done? Okay, I'll do it that way. Tomorrow morning. No, I'm not going to. Over and over and over again, guys. It's the little things. I mean, if you got big things in your life, take care of them. But I'm talking about the little things, because that's what God's working on right now. He's working on the little things. All right, the last one, because I got more to say than 5 minutes worth, but we're going to do it anyway. Here's the last one. Here's God's question. Because if I wouldn't have told you God's question, there would have been a revolt in here.
Yeah.
I know.
Wait.
That was number three.
God's question is point four.
Yes, God's question is number four. Verse 16. Here's what God says. He says, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Verse 17. Learn to do well. What does that mean? Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fathers, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And you notice that that part comes after he says, learn to live well, right? He doesn't say, I'll just take care of everything, right? No. Though they be red by cleansing, they should be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Here's God's question. God says you've got two choices. Right? And so if you haven't heard anything that I've said so far, you're not going to hear this. But if you had heard just a little bit of what I've said, then you need to hear this. God says you've got two choices. He says you can be willing and obedient. Says it right there. Man, I didn't make none of this up today. It's a good week. I didn't have to make nothing up. Hey. Right here out of the Word. He says, you can be willing and obedient, or we can refuse and rebel. Well, I'm at church. I'm doing the things I'm supposed to be doing, right? Yeah, and rebellion's written all over your forehead when you're doing it, man. We can be willing and obedient. We can refuse and rebel. Sorry, I didn't. Matthew 23:14 was a reference for the last point. Read it in your spare time.
23 what?
Matthew 23:14. Sorry, I just looked up and saw that. So anyway, we can be willing and obedient. We can refuse and rebel. Willing. So you put those two together. You can be willing or refuse, and you can be obedient or rebel. Right? They kind of hand in hand. Willing or refuse what? What's he talking about? Willing or refuse what? This is what God's been showing me. I can either be willing, or I can refuse change. And this is me personally. That's not out of the Word of God, but that's, you know, this is what God's been working on me. If you were here last Sunday night, you heard this, and if you weren't here last Sunday night, you missed out. Brian Clark was here. And man, he was preaching fire. It was good. It was all up in my grill, right? And it was exactly what I needed to hear. And he was talking about, he used this example. He was like, you know, I'm glad you're a really good planner, because I'm just not a good planner, right? And his example was, this is exactly his words, you know, because I'm not able to, you know, use the calendar app on my phone, because and that's just not in my ability, so I'm just not good at that, right? Or we like to say that, you know, I'm just a really down to the surface kind of person, right? That's just how I am. Well, I like to say that, right? So you guys are like, now you see where I'm coming from, right? I am that way. I like to say that I'm down to earth and I'm just black and white, but it doesn't mean that's how I have to be, right? If God tells me to change, if God tells me I need to be something different, then I need to be willing to be something different, right? Out of my own words, and this was how God was, I had told my wife, not 24 hours before that, I'm just not that kind of person. How are you going to try to change me into being something that I'm not? And it wasn't she was trying to change me. Don't get me wrong. She's not like that. But it was just... And then Brian Clark comes in and he's like, oh, are we just unwilling to change? And I'm like, huh. Got it, God. Loud and clear, right? Don't need an antenna for that one. I got it. You're coming in loud and clear. Well, sometimes you've got to be willing to change, right? Change what? Well, this is out of the Word of God. Here's what it says. Sometimes you've got to be able... You've got to be willing to learn to do well. What does that mean? What does that mean? Everything that we just talked about. Are you willing to learn something new and apply something new and not just say, well, this is just how I am, right? No, you're saying that. God can make you anything He wants you to be, if you're willing. It's just how it is, right? So you can be willing or refuse to change, or you can be obedient or rebel about what? What's he talking about? Being obedient or rebel about what? What's he getting at, right? Well, everything we've talked about so far. You can be obedient to what we just talked about. The fact that we've got a problem and we know the punishment and we know that our solution ain't going to work. Right? We can be obedient or we can rebel. What are you going to do with it? Well, I just don't know. Okay, well, you're going to rebel then. I'm hearing you loud and clear. Verse 20, and we'll wrap up with this. The end of verse 20. This is good. You can be obedient or you can rebel about this right here. Because you're like, well, yeah, you're all up in my grill, Jason, and I don't like it. Right? You're all up in my grill, and I'll let the Word of God talk to me. Okay, well, here's what the Word of God's got to say about what was just said to you. Verse 20 says, "But you, if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of Jason..." Nope, that's not what it says. It says, "For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Everything that you heard today, everything that God's been speaking, has come directly out of this book right here. I was completely unprepared. It's been a crazy busy week, and I was just like, I went in this morning, and I'm like, God, I don't know what to teach today. Usually I like to be prepared and just finish up on Sunday morning. I'm like, I'm out. I ain't got nothing. We've been serving, and God, just give me some grace. And I'm like, God, just show me something. And you know what? This is what He showed me right here. And so if you're like, he's just preaching an agenda, I don't do that. And here's the proof of it. It says, "For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Whatever God is getting all up in your grill about, man, take it to heart, because be willing to make some changes. Be willing to be molded for God's use. That's what He wants us to do. God, and I might be preaching to the air. I don't know. You guys, you're on fire, right? You guys are the choir. You're doing the work. You're busy about God's work. But that doesn't mean we can forsake our personal time for God to work in here. It's easy to be busy about God's work. I'm in the ministry, right? We're serving. Chris and Lauren are getting married, right? And we got this and this and this. And it's easy to do all those things. Praise the Lord, right? I want you guys to be busy about God's work. If we're not busy about the work, we got something off. But if we're so busy about the work that we're not doing any heart work, this book into my heart, then you're missing that too. Okay? God's doing some things, guys. Allow Him to do it. All right, let's pray. Sorry I went a minute and a half over. My bad. Father God, I love You. I thank You for today. I thank You for Your Word, Lord. I thank You for just the conviction that it's got in it. And God, You don't sugarcoat things at times. And Lord, that's the way I need to hear it. I don't need You to come in and speak parables to me. I would rather You just come in straight like You did with Isaiah and say, this is your problem. You're living out of line and you need to address it. And God, I pray that at the end of the day, when we look at the question, You make it pretty black and white. We can either be willing and obedient to follow You and do whatever You tell us to do, even if it's not the best choice, or even if it's not the most logical choice, or we can refuse it and we can rebel and we can keep doing things our way and we can keep, you know, keep fighting, kicking against the pricks, like Paul said. God, I pray that, you know, we got to choose. Which way are we going to go? I pray that we would choose just to be followers of You, that we would put our lives out there as a living sacrifice like You call us to do and say, here am I, God, send me. And if that means, you know, whatever that means, send me here, send me there. You know, allow me to, just allow You to make the decision in our lives, Lord, and lead our lives. Lord, I pray that You would just send us out this week as lights in a dark world. Lord, I pray that You would just give Chris and Lauren a special time. Lord, we just do pray for them and their marriage. And I pray that we as a class would just continue to support them and just minister alongside of them. And God, I pray that You would just work this week, Lord, and just be magnified in our lives. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.